Well, today, next week at least, there'll be a sermon on praying for spiritual renewal. And renewal is something you do when something gets a little bit stale and cold and not workable in your life. And God in His Word lets us know we're prone to that. That's a common ailment. That's something you should get in your heart right off the bat. It's a common ailment for every believer. I don't know of any believer who has always been on fire for God all the time. Or someone who's been, you know, just abiding in Christ in every particular day and every week, and they're just tremendous in every way. If you're that person, meet me afterwards, and I'm going to ask you to help me write next week's sermon. But the common ailment we have is that we're in need of renewal, and God is gracious enough to provide it time and time again, in spite of how many times we need it. So you might be impatient with yourself, but God is patient with you and desires the best for you, how many ever times you have needed spiritually renewed. And thinking of how we might become indifferent to God, I'm going to ask the question, how many have ever skipped out of a class in school in some manner? I did once. Okay. Wow. There was a lot more than I thought. And well, you should be able to identify with this, the skipping illustration then. When I was in 11th grade, never skipped a class and always very conscientious. Ironically, I did skip a class in seminary one day. Got myself in trouble. But in a public way, I got in trouble through indifference to the math class in 11th grade. About three quarters of the way through the class, the fire alarm rang, and it was a fire drill. So out the door we go to experience a nice sunny day on the sidewalk and not be in class for a fire drill. And after doing that, it was time to go back in. But right after math class was lunch, and I'm thinking, class is almost over. Why in the world would I want to go back to math class? I'm going to go to lunch. Now, I don't know what I was thinking. You would think you would skip out at the beginning of class so the teacher would think you were absent. But to be there and then to be gone, I guess I counting on the rapture there. But so I don't go back to class. I go to the cafeteria, not a problem, no conscience bothering me whatsoever. I'm in line early for a change. I enjoy my lunch, and who needs the last 10 minutes of math anyway? And so there I go. Everything was terrific until the next morning. Went over the public address system. Every day is announced people who are in trouble and in need of seeing the assistant principal. With the following people, report to the assistant principal's office. So my name was called. And so I go and pay my debt to society. And not only that, but something else happened to my heart and revealed, you know, not just somebody who skipped class, but now both I and the teacher know I don't love math class. If it was gym class, I'd have went back for gym, finished the volleyball game. If I was a musician, at least go back and put the tuba away or whatever you had to do to get back to music class. But math class, I knew, the teacher knew, I didn't love math class. I was indifferent to math. Take it or leave it when you get right down to it. And Jesus said one of the biggest troubles you could ever be in is to be indifferent to Him. He said you are neither hot, warm in your relationship with me, or cold. You are not cold, but you are lukewarm. You are indifferent. And because of that, I have to spit you out of my mouth. And that represents Jesus saying, I will not have fellowship with you. Now, of all the scary things we should ever hear in our lifetime, besides the judgment of God sending us to a hell that we would deserve due to our sin, would be the news that God has decided not to have fellowship with us. That would be, I would want to avoid that at all costs because of the consequences of that. But the big trouble you and I find ourselves in on a regular basis is that we're in need of spiritual renewal. We become indifferent to God. And when you think of the Lord's point of view in the whole thing, it's easy when a relationship is warm and close to give thanks and to be a part of that relationship on a human level or with the Lord. If the relationship goes real bad, you could understand that part, because then there's conflict and there's severe disagreement, and there's almost like a closening in the relationship because there's this massive conflict with each other. But when there's indifference in the connection, when you ask somebody, hey, you want to come and spend this time with me? And they go, eh. Then there's almost no remedy for the situation other than to walk away. You can't work through a conflict. There's not significant enough conflict there to work through. And there's no warmth, because if there was warmth, there would be a good response. And so that's the state of our soul without regular periods of renewal between us and God. That's the normal state of a Christian. You tend toward lukewarmness, tend toward staleness. And God deals with it a lot in the Bible. In fact, all relationships tend toward staleness without some purposeful work in the right direction. James Dobson, who writes on family relationships a lot, he says a healthy relationship looks like this, and I share this with premarital folk. You're conscious of one another, that's good, and you're laboring in different experiences, and then you're close. And then you're conscious of one another, and then you're close. So it's like a heartbeat that goes together and then that way. But an indifferent relationship is like this. You're just kind of conscious. Yeah, you're conscious of one another. That's good. You know, you have a love for somebody, and that's okay. And you know God, and that's okay. But there's never any this. There's never any interest in this. There's no move toward that. There's very much a contentment with this. And the Bible says it's very deadly and a sin that the Lord would confront on a regular basis. In King David's life, we hear from Psalm 86, as was read, David, who had God first in his life, nevertheless prayed this way. He said, "Give me an undivided heart that I can fear your name and praise you with everything I am." So David knew sometimes his heart would get divided. He thought God was the best, and then he had five other best things that he was interested in. And as soon as we get that way, God is robbed of the rightful place in our lives. Too many secondary loves ahead of the Lord becomes second, third, fourth, or fifth. And that is tremendously unhealthy. So David says, "Give me an undivided heart." A single heart of devotion to yourself. And anytime anybody, it's even almost attractive in young people, when they get like one focus in their life, could be, you know, a hobby or a class or even a person. That person's my friend and I'm 100% loyal to them. Whenever that single-mindedness happens, there's a tremendous plus to that. So you can imagine how much of a plus it would be when we do that to God, that single-minded, single-hearted love. So David said, he prays to have that. Without prayer, he won't have that. Without prayer, you won't have that. And the church won't have that. And then the world suffers as a result. It was present also in New Testament times. Paul said to the church in Rome, "Never flag in your zeal for God. Maintain your enthusiasm for God." We were reading that in a devotional the other day with some believers. And I said, you know, I wish it said, 2 days a week, have a zeal for God. You know, that would be more realistic. But you know, God says, you know, be enthusiastic for Him at all times. All times want that closeness. You might not have it every day, but want that. Want that health. Move toward that health. In the Old Testament, God attacks indifference severely, does so in Isaiah 29. Jesus quoted this passage when he says, "These people honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me." And then the result of that is that we lead a hidden life. You know, we say, "God can't see this, and I'm kind of the potter, and God's the clay, and He does whatever my initiative brings about." You know, we get the whole thing backwards when our hearts are away from God. And each of us have known that situation where we honored him with our mouth, our hearts were far from him. As a preacher, I try not to make a habit of it, but I know occasionally I will preach about the love of God in that particular week or day. I'm not that excited about God. You know, and that gives you a bad feeling in your stomach. Or you sing a song about how great Christ is, and yet your heart thinks other things are greater than him. So God sees that. He wants to help us with that. He can help us repent of that and our susceptibility to that. And it's common to man. Doesn't the Bible say that all sin or all temptations to sin are common to man? So there's a way of escape. So if you're lukewarm or indifferent to God, you're no different than any other Christian who came walking down the road. But God will give you a way of escape. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to love that way. You don't have to be indifferent to being indifferent. You can ask God for a heart. I don't think any of us really pray, Lord, give me a slack, unenthusiastic, slothful walk with you. Please answer this prayer in Jesus' name. You know, we really don't want that if we've met Christ. So we turn to God and we ask for his help in solving the problem and cast ourselves on his mercy. It does require some 911 call to our soul. You know what a 911 call is? That's an emergency. It's not like I'm going to make an appointment to go solve this problem a couple months from now. No, 911 is this has to be dealt with right now because it is a serious condition. And so God invites us to turn to him to ask for time of spiritual renewal. How can we pray or get a heart that would lean toward him in his goodness? Because he's going to be the one to turn it around. Number one, we could pray something about recognizing God's holiness and greatness and our own in-depth awareness of sin. So as we pray, we say, God, you're holy, and Lord, we need you very much. Like Isaiah in the temple. Holy is the Lord, woe is me. That was a healthy experience for Isaiah. At the end of which he said, send me, Lord, to follow you. So it's a good response. We pray, Lord, you're righteous. Without your Son, I am all unrighteousness. I don't know if you've ever sensed that on a regular basis. Lord, you're righteous. Without your Son, I am all unrighteousness. That phrase came from a hymn by Charles Wesley called Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Very positive hymn by a very holy man. Charles Wesley wrote 6,000 hymns honoring God. So he was excited about the Lord. And yet he had phrases like this in that hymn. He said, just and holy is your name. I am all unrighteousness. So there's Wesley. He's saying, God is better than I know, and I am in tremendous need of him. Second line says, false and full of sin am I. You are full of grace and truth. So there's Wesley saying, my needs are tremendously big, but God is bigger than my spiritual need. And he's writing that as a pastor. He's not writing that as some, you know, guy who can barely drag himself to church and, you know, stay awake during the service. He is somebody who recognizes his need for the Lord. And so Jesus taught that it was to be the healthy person who would recognize their deep need and recognize the honor of God. As he told the story of two folks going to the temple, it wasn't the guy in worship who says, the world's really bad, it's really, really bad. And certainly wasn't the guy who looked over across the pew and said, that guy's bad, that guy's really, really bad. It was the guy who looked at his own soul and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the guy who was going to go home at peace with God. And everybody else would go home not at peace with God. And so to pray and say, Lord, you're righteous. Lord, without you, we are all unrighteousness, and God helps us. He does a a good inventory in our lives. It's, for me, it's like going to the medical doctor. The first 10 minutes of my experience at the doctor's office is always I'm full of health and vigor, and I fill out the sheet as you do, and I'm feeling great about myself. You know, do you have a fever? No. Tobacco? No. Alcohol? No. AIDS? No. I mean, I am flying with health. One good answer after the next. And then he checks me more thoroughly. He says, well, you know, you're 20 pounds overweight. Your blood pressure's high. Your heart's out of whack. You got to take care of yourself. Take care of this health problem in stewardship. And God says, you take care of indifference to me, because he will come and bring health again, because he loves us, because he doesn't want us to live a life of indifference to him. Second way we could say, Lord, work in the renewal in my walk with you does have to do with other people. Praying the Jesus forgiveness prayer from the cross in two directions. Jesus prayed, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So we pray that about our own sin. Lord, forgive, for I don't know the gravity of my own sin. Lord, forgive me, for I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how bad sin is that I get, that my heart is moving toward, prone to. And so God answers that prayer. And also we pray for others that we feel have sinned against us. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I never met a person who sincerely prayed that who wasn't helped in their walk with God and eventually had a peace about whatever conflict they find themselves in. So you have peace with God and you have peace with other people, and it blesses your testimony. Henry Blackaby mentions this in his renewal work. He says this in a devotional. You can't be on a mission with the Father if you're at war with other people. Your life will not convince people around you of the reality of Jesus when you are seriously at odds with others. And certainly won't people around you cannot make the connection between salvation and peace with folks around you. So God can help with forgiveness toward your soul and with forgiving other people. Those are springboards to renewal. And another, the third one to think about, for, at least for this morning, is this. Lord, give me a more clear vision of yourself. We pray, we sang the song, Lord, be my vision. Give me a more clear vision of yourself. If I could see God in his goodness, then I'm going to want to follow him. And I will want to put him first, because he will outshine all rivals. No problem. Okay. So that's something we're at the mercy of God in. Because only he could reveal himself to us. We can't, you know, make up something about him that's not true. He'll show us his goodness to our soul and through his word. John Wesley, Charles's brother, said, O Lord, send us revival. We must have revival or we will die. You can think about that in your walk with God. Lord, unless I am warm or hot toward you, I will die. My testimony will die. My walk will die. Spiritually speaking, it will be of no impact whatsoever. And Jonathan Edwards says, a view of God can excite love in the human soul. A view of God can excite love in the human soul. And to me, I think a view of God ends up, we're back at Jesus, we're back at the cross. And we say, who's the one that loves me the most in this universe? Well, it's Christ by far. And who's the greatest one? Who's the one who's holy and beautiful and committed? That's Christ. And so for us to have the privilege of saying yes to him does bring renewal and a heart after himself. So in these days, might you know the indifference of the soul without spiritual renewal for you and for me and for God to to move that way in us as His people. That's His desire for His people. That's His will. And anything less, really, it's a sin pattern that we would accept lukewarmness toward Him. Could we pray together silently and ask God to work through His Word and with His challenge? Let's pray together. Father, here's our silent prayers as we look at the need for renewal in our walk. Help us to want You, to want to stay connected to You, our true vine. Hear our silent prayers.